Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Garland, and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Made it. We're back again, Ben. We are back from the lake, yesterday.
Sort of, kind of. Yeah. So we have achieved a new life bucket list item.
We have, yeah.
Yeah, this is, it's like, honestly, I think I was, the excitement was so great that the fear accompanying it was equally great.
The fear.
Like, you know, it's like you want something so bad for so long, and like so much of like your effort is like designated to this particular thing. And then it feels like it's like right there. And then all of a sudden you kind of like worry, like, well, what if it's not good? Like,
what if it isn't good?
The same thing happens to me all the time. Like, we constantly talk about like Name of the Wind, and like when we're out on tour, like people come up to us all the time. They're like mad at us because, well, not really mad, but like, you know, playfully mad. Because it's a series that's not finished, and everybody's like, well, we better get book 3, you know, and it's been like over a decade, and you know, the question right. marks are pretty great as to whether or not book 3 will ever happen. But then whenever there ends up being this like leaked piece of news, or like, oh, like, you know, Doors of Stone is coming, I'm always kind of like, but what if it's not good? Like, I've had so much fun dissecting the first 2 books that it's kind of like, well, what if I don't love it?
But don't stick the landing.
And yeah, it's like it's a difficult thing, as we've seen time and time again.
We have.
And so I think that's exactly how I was feeling, because we have purchased lakefront property.
We have. Yeah.
Yes, at long last. There's no house.
Yes, no house, just land, but not just land, dock.
And yeah, and that was the really crucial bit, because obviously, you know, we've told all the stories about going out on, you know, on the boat on the weekends, and being out there with the family and doing all sorts of like fun activities, and my aspirations to eventually be as good as our dad at water skiing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, it's gonna happen. Yeah. Like, I'll get there. I literally debated on going last night, but we ended up running out of time. But anyway, you know, it's just we found a parcel. The whole family's been looking for, you know, a long
years.
Time. Yep. Like your family, my family, and our parents all went in on it together. So we've got like our first little taste of lake life.
We sure do.
And we closed last Monday. So we came in, we recorded the pop, and then we went down and we did the closing, which is always stressful as ever.
I would say it was stressful, and I would like a moment to complain, Ben.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But you know what? The floor is yours.
Yeah. Because as you said, this is something we've been working for and like looking for like years. And like we finally found the place. We did, you know, and we're, you know, we got all the paperwork together. We got all like the finances in order, and we're there. And, you know, it's like when you're like, I remember like when me and Beth went to go like sign all the papers for like the first house we bought when we were getting married. And it was like this big momentous thing where it's like, there's like this big stack of papers and they're handing them to you. And they're like, this is what this means. This is what this means. And, you know, whatever. And at the end you finish and like they hand you the keys and you're like, oh my gosh. And it's so exciting.
It's like a champagne toast kind of moment.
Yes. It's like this big momentous thing. And I just have to say that the lady that was handling our deed signing or whatever, was terrible. I'm just going to say it because, I mean, I've never looked forward to something so much and left with the desired outcome, but also been so angry at the same time.
It was very frazzling. Yeah. Like, you know, like we walk into the room and like, I felt like just right away, instantly, the first thing that happened was they were basically like, oh, so you guys like don't have a permit.
A permit.
Yeah, is how it was pronounced. And it was like one of these things where it was like, what do you mean? And like, in case anybody's unfamiliar, like you may be, it's kind of like a unique situation, I guess. But the lake that we go to is called Smith Mountain Lake, and it's a man-made lake, meaning that like it used to just be a valley, and then they flooded it using a dam. And like that is how we now have this body of water.
Yeah.
But the odd thing about it is that all of the water is owned by the electric company here in our area, because they're the one who created it in order to generate power via the dam.
Right.
And so there's lots of like, now, I mean, maybe not like lots of restrictions, but like the permitting process,
ball gown
process though is such that like the electrical company has to come through and effectively give you the right to have your dock, which is for us a massive reason why we wanted this particular property, because it already had a dock.
Yeah.
But then it comes with this like additional layer that, because it was built before the new restrictions were set into place, it means that you have to be like grandfathered in, because it doesn't match like what the dock should look like based on modern day building standards, which is not like a problem. Like it's not like they're going through and like demolishing the old docks, but there just wasn't a permit that was supposed to be handed over with the deed when we made the purchase. And so it was just this like very stupid, frustrating process where like we're walking in there to take ownership of this thing, and at the same time being informed that we don't have like the official right to have the thing.
Right,
like that's probably a very dramatic way of saying it, but on some level kind of true.
It was kind of true to throw in there at the last second, like, yeah. And then you know, this I don't know how to describe this lady, you know, like your Aunt Rose, she's exactly like that.
The maiden aunt,
right?
You know, not maybe not quite Umbridge territory.
Not like malicious, just like can't quite finish a thought ever, just sort of trails off after everything. Can't like needs to come over to your house to like print stuff.
Okay,
you know what
okay,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like didn't shake my hand when we got there, didn't introduce herself. I kept waiting for someone else to be, I kept thinking she was there like putting the papers down and someone else was going to come start doing the process. Like, and then we're like half an hour in, I'm like, this is it. Okay, cool. Just not knit and spiral. I'm sorry. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, cause I don't want to just like speak ill of people, but it was a really like, I left and Beth was like, are you okay? And I was like, I am. I don't know. That was really upsetting. And that's all I just wanted to say.
Yeah, there so, you go. Well, I mean, it's okay.
No, I mean, we won't spend time on it, because what we should spend time on is that we got to go to the lake this weekend.
We did. Yes. And it was very, very thrilling for just a myriad of reasons. But, you know, from my perspective, I've had my boat parked in my driveway, you know, since I've had it. And then before that, I had a different boat parked in my driveway. And before that, I had a camper parked in my driveway.
You have space.
I have space. Yeah. So like, we pulled in last night and I like pulled in on the street parking in front of my house, and Alice was like, you could park in the driveway. And I was like, no way. And that's because there's a place to store our trailer and there's a space to store the boat on a lift. So it's like now if we wanted to go like boating after work, all I would have to do is drive to the dock, lower it into the water, and boom, we're off to the races.
There you go.
Like it's
there's
just
no launching.
There's no launching. Yeah. It's just that easy. And that though came with like a weird feeling, because trailering is like one of these like abilities that I would say is strange. Like I feel like there's something about it that it's like a skill that like I'm proud to have learned. Like I know how to back up a trailer,
right?
You know, and like it's like it doesn't feel like that big of a deal, but at the same rate, like it's kind of hard. Like it takes a little while to get to get it down.
Yeah,
it's the kind of thing that like I feel like all of our dads know how to do, but like it's like one of those things where I'm like, but who taught you and when and why?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not like at any point in my life skills class, they were like, all right, time to go learn how to back up a trailer.
At some point, it's just like, yeah, you're just sort of forced into the situation and it's sort of like do or die.
Exactly.
You know, you either have to figure it out or you don't. It looks like our cameras just died. So hold on a sec. We might take a brief pause to go change the battery. Doodle-oo-loo. Yeah, I remember the first, I don't know if anyone's ever like proper, like there's certainly people who like grow up and learn to do it, but I think once you're doing it, it's sort of do or die. It's like you either have to figure it out right then or like you can't leave. And it's like you just sort of have to do it. But I remember the very first time I ever had to back up something with a trailer, which might also still be the last time I had to do it. I don't know. It's been a minute. But it was on the movie set of Lake Effects.
Oh yeah, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
The trailer I was backing up was like one of the movie stars' like dressing rooms. I think it was for Madeline Zima, who was starring in the movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No. What? Yeah.
I mean, no, not to Madeline Zima, but no, thank you to having to back up such an important piece of the puzzle.
Yes, and actually, it was also at the lake, you know, per the title, Lake Effects.
At Smith Mountain Lake.
At Smith Mountain Lake. That's where they filmed the movie. Yeah, and it was like extra tricky because everything on the lake is on a hill because all the everything, you know, as Ben said, used to be a valley and they filled it up with water, but now the land around it is all on a hill.
Right.
So there's almost no flat land around the lake. So we're like on a slight incline here. So not only are you having to like back it up, you're having to sort of aim at some wood that's gonna like even it out or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Or what, I don't know. It was really tricky. And as opposed to maybe just having like one person who knew what they were doing telling me how to back up, it's like how anytime you're at a barbecue and like there's one guy grilling stuff, like five other guys got to come over to like make some comments about the meat.
Dude,
you know, it was like people were coming out of the woodwork to like help me like yell instructions about how to back up the trailer.
That's the thing. And it's too much noise. I've noticed that this happens like whenever we pull into a big city on tour as well as like Ethan's driving like the big, you know, like oversized van. And it's like we immediately start like looking for parking and everybody has like a slightly different view of like the road and the specific signs and like where fire hydrants might be. And like all at once, I feel like everybody's like there, you could do over there, there's a parking garage, but we're too small for that one, so we have to do over here where there's a fire hydrant, and then this one has a toll booth, and like, you know, it's like if you're Ethan, I could just like see the steam coming like out of my ears. Like, this is information overload. I need one person
to talk,
one person to speak, everyone else stop.
Right.
Yeah. But I understand, it's like you're trying to back up and they're like, throw it left, no, the trailer or the wheel.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Take it hard right, back it up, stop, all the way, strain it out, you know.
I
didn't even move yet,
you know. Yeah, that was always our grandpa, like, you know, he would be behind and he'd be like waving me through and he'd be like, all right, back up, whoa there, shallow water, and you're sort of like, well, you just went from like encouraging me to back up more to like, what were you thinking? You went way too far.
Yeah, I'm only listening to you.
Right, okay? It's like every single thing I'm doing is in direct reaction. Like, I, as far as I'm concerned, you are remote controlling.
I'm blindfolded. You know?
Yes,
consider it like that.
Okay. So anyway, my mild concern though, because I was so excited about it, like we went, the neighborhood that we have our land in has its own boat launch, which is really nice, so we're able to go and like use the like little independently owned boat launch, which means there was like no line or no other group of like experienced fishermen watching you try to figure out what you're doing and all that, so that was wonderful. And then, you know, like the boat's in the water, it goes over, it drives right up into the lift, no problem whatsoever. And then after we're done, we can go pull the trailer that, like, you know, the boat rides on into this like cool fenced off area. And I, like, you know, I feel like I whipped it in all nice and perfect and I was like, oh, this is great. And then I was like, oh my gosh, but like, think about, it's going to be so infrequent that I need to go and like get this,
right?
You know, so it's like something that I'm normally doing like every weekend throughout the summer, you know, like a skill that like I've really honed through, you know, time and time again experience. It's like, I'm not going to have this anymore. Like, what if, like, hopefully it's just like riding a horse and you just, you know, put the bike back on the mule. I really messed up.
Yeah, mix up some metaphors there. Yeah, mix up some like metaphors. Riding a bike.
Riding a bike.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not like use it or lose it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, it just stays kind of parked in the back of your brain forever.
Yeah. Or it just stays parked in that particular parking lot.
Forever. Yeah, it's like, would you, are you going to take your boat out of the lift? It's like, oh no. I forgot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just going to be there. We'll just keep it up, you know, through, you know, however long. Yeah. Because, like, when will you need to take it out?
I mean, you could take it out, like, through the winter so that, like, you could, like, go through and do, like, a full winterization of it and everything and make sure it's all just, you know, perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I can pretty much do that from the lift as well. So I don't know that it's absolutely necessary, but maybe that.
Maybe that. Okay.
Yeah.
Because then you'd lose your, driveway again, like, during the winter.
No, I could still park it down there.
Oh, you can still park it down there.
Yeah. So it'd be okay. So my driveway is safe.
Your driveway is safe.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it is when you pulled your car into the driveway, did you feel like this is so cool that I get to do this, but like for now? Like it was like a temporary, like something else is coming to fill the space.
That's a good question. And like one of the big things that drives Alice mad is that we don't have like a proper like backyard.
Uh-huh.
Like we only really have like a front yard, and like in the back we've got like a pergola and all that. But like, you know, there's nowhere like for anybody to like, you know, go and play.
Uh-huh.
Which means like if Addie's outside, she's in our front yard, and then we're just always afraid, you know, I mean, she's so special. Somebody really wants to come and like scoop her up and run off with her or something. We're just always terrified.
Right.
You know, probably irrationally so, but sure. You know, that's the way of parents. And so we talked a little bit about cutting half of our driveway out and putting like a backyard into our backyard. Cause that's
okay.
That's where it is.
Okay.
And so then I would technically still have enough place to like park, but not nearly like the double space that I currently have.
I see.
So that would be the only thing that we currently have on the old Dockeroni and cheese.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, but like, you don't feel like your parking spot is going to like be taken from you yet again by another something, not necessarily toy. Anything, you know, I don't know what it could be.
Well, okay. I say that we are also in the process of preparing for like another wave of like renovations at our house. It's like one of these things, like I feel like Alice and I have both like committed to, we've spoke to our contractor. Like we were like, okay, thumbs up, let's go. And he had like months work on like a different job. And so like, it's been this like very theoretical thing in the distance.
Yeah.
But it would be basically turning our attic into a bonus room. But currently the attic is like all of our storage. And so all of that stuff would have to like come out. So then it's like, well, then you like, I'm going to end up with a pod being parked in my driveway is what's going to happen.
Right.
Like, you know, like those big white, like it says pods on the side. That's what's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll end up parked right there. Something like that. It's like when you finally clear off like our dining room table always has like laundry on it.
Sure.
Or whatever, you know? Yeah. And it's like every now and then we'll completely clean it off and it'll be nice and set. And like for a few days, it'll be fine. But eventually like, it's like, oh, I got to go put this down. And you just go set it over there. And it's like an empty table invites stuff to be put on it.
Dude.
And so it will. And it's like, you have this spot right now and you have a thing you even use it for, which is parking your car. But like, is it gonna, has it like acclimated itself to like the stuff spot?
Almost certainly. Yeah. I am not wholly certain that something else won't end up there. And I'm like so accustomed to just like parking on the street, like I said, you know, to the point where like I pulled up last night and just parked on the street.
Right.
And I was like, you have the driveway now.
You can do it now.
And it was like, good point.
Yeah.
What a novel idea.
Mm-hmm.
I even backed in and everything. Yeah. Just because I could, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. I remember, at my old house, it had a quote unquote garage, which was very tiny. And
oh, it was, yes,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it was very tiny, and I had a Nissan Juke at the time, and that could fit in there as long as like there wasn't really anything else in the garage.
As long as you moved the broom.
As long as right, exactly. And I remember like at first it was like it was so small as to be like, well, is it even really like worth parking in here or whatever? But after a while, I was like, no, I'm determined. I am going to like I'm actually going to use it because I have it. And like, why not use it for what it's supposed to be used for?
Right.
Right. Plus, then I could come in through the basement. I didn't have to like go like weave my way through the stairs and stuff like that. So for a while, I was really good about using it. And then
the dragons arrived.
No, not really a dragon, but more like then Luke arrived.
Oh,
and yes. It was like then we had to accommodate putting like his car seat into the back of the car anytime you went in there.
Okay.
Because it was like a lifter and it like clicked in into the car. So it was like you had to have like room to do that. And the act of doing that, like I could open the back door sort of inside the garage.
Right.
You know, it was like typically if I was going to park in there, I had to make sure that I parked with like a little extra room to the left so I could open the door to get myself out. Uh-huh. But in order to do that, then I created way less room to the right, which is where his door would have been.
Right.
And it became very difficult. And I was like, I just got to start parking where I used to park. And it was like life shoved me out of the garage again so I could, you know, effectively get Luke in and out of the car when I was going places.
Does this count as your coined phrase, universal shoving?
It might have been universal shoving long before I had a word for it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like you're not meant to park in your garage.
Right.
In the same way that I'm probably not meant to park in my driveway.
Right. Like it's like the world, like that space of air has like converted itself from parking spot. It's like, and it doesn't even have to be that like a toy is there or that storage is there. It's like life, it could just shove you out of it for some reason.
For some reason,
you know, it might be like, hey, oh man, my friend's car broke down. Can I park my, like, you know, I feel like you're going to be parking someone else's car in there,
right,
or something,
yeah.
You know, just for a little bit. I have no idea. I'm curious to see this space. It feels like it has the stench, you know.
It does. I know. And I mean, but the thing I'm really excited about is I've got my giant compost heap over there, which is just positively overflowing.
Oh yeah.
It's big. It's large. It's messy. Like all my tomato plants from years past have started growing out of it because they want to. So it looks completely unruly, and I wasn't really able to access it because the boat pretty much blocked the entire, you know, like access,
yeah,
to it.
Yeah.
And now that's open. So I'm like, when I get home today, I think I'm going to pressure wash.
Wow.
I'm going to bust out all the tools. It's going to be great. Yeah.
I can't wait. I'm glad you have your space back. And I'm so curious what's going to happen. It's like that one, you know, the one listener that store on the corner that keeps changing hands and nothing can succeed there.
Nothing.
You're like, I don't, man, it's been in like seven different places. And every time it opens up, you're like, oh man, I do want a bakery. And then you're like, you go there once, you're like, that was great. But you never go back, you know?
Why don't you go back?
You don't know. There's the wizards have done something. It's like a secret entrance to the Ministry of Magic or something.
And, right.
You know, they can't really let anything stay there.
It's exactly it. I know. I mean, this is like there's like this like adorable like little neighborhood near like where I live that's got, you know, like a movie theater and like a cool pizza spot and an ice cream place and stuff like that. But like no real establishments are ever able to go in and like make a home there. And forever and ever and ever, there was this like derelict gas station.
Yeah.
And like if you talk to anyone in like the greater, you know, area that we lived in, every single person had the exact same idea, which was we need to turn the old gas station into a brewery.
Yeah.
So that we've got like a cool spot that we could just like walk from our houses, go on down, and, you know, like you could put like a playground in there because like lots of people are like, you know, young families and stuff like that. Like it'd be great. It'd be like the best. And so finally they like went through and like we saw like renovations happening and everybody's like, no way, is somebody finally doing it? Is somebody finally brave enough to open the brewery at the gas station? It's a dentist's office.
Oh, it's a dentist's office.
And I was just like, are you kidding me?
Of course it is.
A dentist's office? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, man. Mm.
Maybe you needed the dentist to come in first. Like, you needed someone who was like, they'll come in and renovate it.
And then fail.
Right. They're going to come renovate it. They're gonna fail because they spent too much money on the renovations.
Naturally.
You know, dentists don't make a lot of money.
No, of course not.
Who has teeth?
Teeth. Oh, good one.
But when they leave,
yeah.
then you have nice bones. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Yeah. Not so much work.
And not just the bones sticking out of your gums.
Yeah, exactly. Which are teeth. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I like this plan. So
right.
If anything, we're well on our way.
We're well on our way to like our grandchildren enjoying some beer in the village.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely. It's going to be good. Okay. All right. I already can't wait. Counting down the days.
Cool. And you know what? There's like Jolly Grape anyway. So
there,
you know,
is that.
You got that.
The jolliest.
The jolliest of times down there.
Yeah.
Good times.
It is. That is like one of those places where like everybody has their theories as well, because it's like you go in and it just seems way too inexpensive for what you get.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know how you guys stay open, but thank you for being here.
Thank you for existing, because it's fun coming here, but it does feel like it's too good to be true.
Right, right. Like in my mind, almost what happened was there was like a really wealthy person who was like, I want a place that I can go and have the experience of having like a little like wine bar near me.
Yeah.
And I want it to be like reasonable and I want it to be like lively. So I need to have it be inexpensive enough that people will actually go. Therefore they do. And he's just got like a nest egg of like $1 million that he just like was just sort of like, okay, all right, dwindle it down. And when it's gone, maybe, you know, maybe we reassess.
Right.
But like, this is like the whimsy of the wealthy.
Right.
Is they're just sort of like, I have $1 million to just basically like fund an at cost wine bar for this amount of time. And that is the jolliest of grapes.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
All right. Now then there's you know, places like your parking spot and my old garage and my current fence.
Yeah.
That is just like universal shoving.
They're determined to not work.
They're determined to not work. That fence, I cannot believe it. I could not believe it broke again.
This is the one that you went out and fixed.
I went out and fixed.
And then like the landscaper came in and promptly knocked it off again.
And they were like, don't worry, we'll fix it. And it was like, great, great. And they did. And then they did a bad job and it fell off again. And it was like, I was like, my theory is so ironclad. Like, I can't believe it. I cannot believe it fell off again. So now it's just sitting there. I should just go out and it's like, I don't, anyway, don't worry about that part right now.
It's fine. We'll just breeze past it.
There's the reverse of this, where instead of having that like shop on the corner that no one can change hands, there's like the shop on the corner that has been in business literally forever, even though you've never seen a single person in there.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Yeah. And it's like, how do you sustain?
Right. 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 Like, exactly.
And this is something that I think I have learned a little bit about going through different small business woes myself, you know, and then like observing other people nearby and around me also doing small businessy type things, is that like, it used to be the case in my mind that I was like, dude, they own a small business. Like, they're like killing it. And it's like, more often than not, small businesses are literally hanging on with every amount of grooves left in their well-worn fingertips to their existence. And so sometimes, yeah, like you can literally go and do the math. It's like, okay, let's just say that this ice cream shop does 100 scoops of ice cream at $5 a day and they're open 4 days a week. Like, we can extrapolate this math and it's like, it doesn't math. It's like, I don't know how they stay open.
Right. Yeah, like I'm sure you know where I'm talking about. There's like a Roanoke tchotchke shop that just sells random stuff.
Yeah.
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 Like, and I say like Roanoke themed tchotchkes.
Right, right.
In the middle of downtown.
Things shaped like, you know,
the
like
star.
The star, yeah. Yeah. Like coasters. Custom napkins.
Right. And I'm like, and it has been there since we have been kids.
Yeah.
You know?
It has.
And I don't, like, I just don't know how. I don't know how much, like, I don't know. Either I'm severely underestimating how much people buy these sorts of things, or how much tourism is happening and people want souvenirs.
Souvenirs.
I don't know. But I'm like, It is one of those places that like every square inch has another product on it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. Like in those are the types of situations like where I'm going to compare it to like the least applicable example possible, but like Amazon, like the company, it makes a huge amount of money from like, it's like cloud data storage server farm type of IT technical something like. A huge amount of like their actual revenue comes from that. The reason you know what I'm talking about is because you've bought something on Amazon before,
right?
Like paper towels, or you know, a Hot Wheels car, or a book,
right?
Or something like, inevitably you've bought something off of like their like shopping related services, and it's like you always think, I see Amazon packages all the time. Every mail carrier I pass on the street has an Amazon package. They're stacked, you know, especially kind of coming into the holiday season time of year. It's like they're stacked on everybody's front doorsteps, like whatever. Like, you know it for all those reasons. Where they're making a ton of money is like something you just don't see at all.
Right.
And so like, that's what I wonder with these like small businesses, where it's like you, they don't sell that many like, you know, Roanoke themed coffee mugs and Christmas ornaments and stickers and you know, whatever, embroidered napkins and stuff. But they have a gig with the hospital down the way. And every time somebody comes in, they send a gift basket, and they do like 700 of those a week.
Right.
You know, yeah. The store is just sort of like a front. It's like not a front, but like it, like the literal
right.
front of like the business. Like it's what you see, but right. it's not what they do.
Right. Yeah. I can, you know, even as you said that, I'm like, it wouldn't surprise me at all if something like that was happening, which is like, yeah, yeah. The hospital just buys 20 gift baskets from them a week, and that's pretty much all they need to do.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we're a big hospital town.
It
know?
Is a big hospital town. Almost everyone, if you come to Roanoke, if you ask someone what they do, they probably work at the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true.
Or you're talking to us.
People in Roanoke do that?
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. Something like that has to be happening, because like otherwise it's like it like they're in the middle of the city. It's like the rent on where they are at must be huge.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's gotta be big.
Or that, or it's like one of those classic like New York City apartment situations where it's like it's somehow like rent controlled.
Right.
And they're paying like $125 a month for what should be like $4,000 a month or something.
Right. Yeah. 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 Like they just own the building. So it's like, no, we don't even pay rent, you know?
Right.
I don't have to, you know. Right. I only need to sell 20 things a week to keep it going, you know, whatever. I live upstairs.
It gives me something to do.
Yeah, I'm just, whatever. I'm retired.
Got you handed know? Down to me from my great, great, great people.
Exactly. I don't know. I don't know why I'm stuck on this today. In any case, we got to visit our doc.
Hey, we made it back.
Over the weekend. We made it.
Oh my gosh. And yeah, this is sort of it was so interesting to see how it would go down, because this is where my nerves were coming from. So I've been so excited about this. Like anybody who's listened to the pop and like, you know, my excitement about going to Vermont and like the quest for the boat and trying to like fix my original boat and then buying a new one so that like I actually had something that was like functional and reliable. And of course, like, you know, you and I have been going out all the time. All I really wanted to see was what it was like when all of us, like the whole family. So you're like you and Beth and your three kids and me and Allie and Addison and mom and dad were like all down there at the same time interacting with the space. Like, does it work? Does it fit us? Like, are we going to be okay? Are people going to be falling in the water? Like, what happens?
Right.
And I feel like ultimately the conclusion was, yes, we'll absolutely fit all of us and people will be falling into, maybe not, yes. Maybe not the water, but things.
But things. Yeah, I know. It was like, we quickly found a bunch of ways to have mishaps.
Absolutely. Yeah. So right out of the gate, one of the things that happened was there's like a like the stationary dock, which is like, you know, pounded into the ground on like big pylons and like it's just stiff and sturdy and doesn't do anything. And then next to it is a floating dock that obviously does exactly that, and it has big poles that sort of like keep it
like anchor it to the main dock.
Right. But then if the water level like raises or lowers, you can obviously it'll go up and down in accordance with that. So you could theoretically walk straight off of the main dock onto the floating dock, or you could go down this like set of steps that are either necessary or unnecessary based on
water level.
The water level, same thing. And so right away, was it Nate?
Yeah, it was Nate.
Like went to like walk from the stationary dock onto the floating dock and like flomped.
Yeah, just like missed the step. But there's like a good like, I don't know, 12, like 1 foot gap or so
that
you could fall between. And if you did, man, you'd take a bit of a beating from one side of the dock or another.
Yeah, it would be like falling through like a pinball machine.
Yeah, a little bit. But he managed to fall like mostly just forward and landed like cleanly on one of the steps. But he had like 1 foot like up on the other dock, and it was definitely just like a scary moment where it looked like he fell over, and I was like, oh my god, are you okay? And I was like, he was, you know, we checked on him and got him and, you know, just held him for a few minutes, and then he was off playing again 3 minutes later.
Dude, from my perspective, I can't even remember the term for it. Do you remember back when we used to rock climb, there was like a maneuver you could do where you would like hang, I think it's called a bat hang, you would hang by your toes.
I do, yeah.
So like it was like one of the first moves that like I ever did that like I felt like built like a huge amount of like confidence in my climbing game. But like you would literally go upside down, and in order to reach the next thing, you would take your toes and like wrap them around like a big clamshell shelf.
Right.
And then your hands would let go of the wall and you would literally be hanging by your toes.
Right.
So I look over and I can't see that he's like landed on the steps below. And all I see is like 1 foot just like rigidly hanging on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we need to get this kid in the gym more. Like, right? Goodness.
I mean, he does love rock climbing. There's no doubt.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, a bright future.
A bright future for sure. Yes. Yes. So we had that. Then, we were like, just we have a place to put all of our lake stuff.
Yes.
Now, like at the dock. So we're like loading up our little like shed, like on the dock or whatever.
Yeah, kind of cabana slash bar room slash storage locker. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like where you keep all the life jackets and paddles and stuff like that.
Bucket of nails.
Yeah, bucket of rusty nails if you're at camp in Vermont with us. Nailed to the wall in an old coffee can, you know.
That's how we did it.
You need them. You might need them.
And you know what? On more than one occasion, I've gone and pulled like a giant like 5-inch nail out of one of those containers in
for
Vermont.
Use.
Yeah, for use.
Well, there you go.
The use might have been playing the game Stump, which involves hammering a nail into a stump for drinking purposes.
Well, yeah.
But still, I did it.
It happened. Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, there you go. Maybe we should get a stump too.
Maybe I think we need one. Yeah.
That'd be great. But we had like a big inflatable dock.
We do. Yep.
Yeah. That we have in there. We leaned that up there and I think the kids were playing in there and someone, like we leaned it up against the wall and the kids were playing in there and someone knocked it over and it hit Addison on its way down.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's folded up. They call it like a burrito fold. So it's normally 10 by 10 feet. So you can imagine just like a big square, but like all folded down. It's a lot of material because when this thing is full, I mean, you could walk on it. Like it's a pretty sturdy.
It's very sturdy.
Dock. Yeah. And it's very cool. But so the whole thing falls over on Addison and basically her head smacks into the ground in this like one spot where just last weekend, Alice and I took her out for a hike with our dog Indy and Addie was like running through the woods and just having such a good old fashioned time. She trips, kind of falls forward, does like another flop and then somehow lands flat on her forehead and gets this giant goose egg, which then she had picture day at school last week. So you know, for picture day, she got this big mottled like purple yellow blue spot on her forehead, and then this thing falls on her yesterday and I go and check and I was like no, it's just the goose egg from before, and I'm like, no, this is a new one on top of the exact same spot. So I have this beautiful little girl, I mean, you know, and I'm just like, she's good, like she's gorgeous, you know? Well, I think so.
Yeah.
And so far, all of her like major injuries have been to her face.
Right.
You know? And I'm just like, I'm like, one day she is going to be this stunning human being who's going to be like, Dad,
you messed up my face.
Like a bunch of times.
Sorry.
So anyway, things to look forward to.
Yeah.
I'm sorry in advance for what it's worth. I'm aware of it now, Addison. If you're like watching this when you're like 24 or something, like I knew now that it was gonna like come back to haunt me later. And so anyway, that's it.
You know, inner beauty is really important, you know.
You have that in spades.
You have that as well. Yes, and probably still outer beauty. I mean, frankly.
Have you seen your mom? Jeez.
Jeez.
Anyway, but yeah, so Addie got pummeled by that.
Yep.
But all of I feel like we're talking about how excited we are. We've talked about a bad signing and two injuries.
Right.
In the meantime, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I am so stoked. The boat glided right into the slip.
Right into the slip. Yep.
And it was like
it was born to it.
It was like it was born to it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have been happier. And like both sides of the boat touch like either side. So I mean, it's like tucked right down in there. It's so awesome. I'm so happy about it. And then we were wanting to watch the Commanders football game.
Yes.
That was happening. And so Dad had brought a Bluetooth speaker that he had formerly had in their RV. And so we had on my phone the game playing like on YouTube TV projected through the speaker. And then I was like, wait a second, up in my truck, I have an actual projector.
Oh man.
And so we go up, we dig out the projector and a projector stand to put it on, no less. We project it onto the wall of like our cabana shed thing. You use your hotspot.
Yeah, on my phone.
So that we could then like log in using the projector to like use like the YouTube TV app. And then we're literally watching the game like blown up, you know, on a, I mean, it wasn't like a terribly big screen, but you know, big enough and we're grilling hot dogs.
Yep, we had we had a little Blackstone grill.
Yeah, like the
Blackstone grill down there. Yeah, grilling hot dogs right down there on the dock watching the Commanders whoop the Chargers, I say. Yeah. Don't get to see that very often.
You don't, but yeah, you know,
winning a game. Wow. It's pretty great. It started out 0-10 and it was like, well, this is just par for the course, but then it ended 27-10. So it was like, ha, take that.
Put that in your Chargers and I don't know.
Yeah.
iPhone it.
Yeah. Run your battery life dry or something. I don't know.
Good Charger jokes.
Boom.
I don't actually have a whole lot of beef with the Charger, so I don't have any good smack talk.
No, yeah, me neither.
I'm also not a very good smack talker in general.
And the point is that the Commanders won.
Yeah, they did.
And it was exciting.
Right. Yeah. It felt like a good omen.
Yeah, it did.
For the
dog. It did feel like a good omen.
Oh, and then you and I. So we're on, as of yesterday, it was October 5th. So we're like into fall season.
Yeah.
You know? Like the leaves are changing. It's getting cold. Like it's like 50 degrees in the morning when you wake up and stuff. But you and I are down there and it's like one of the signature things you have to do is jump off the dock.
Of course.
And so you and I, we were suited up.
Yep.
We were ready. We high-fived, we ran, we cannonballed.
We did.
Right into the water. It felt great.
It did. It felt good. It was a very clean, refreshing chill.
It was. Yeah. It was. Yeah. And I am extremely stoked. I feel like I'm going to go down there and like polar plunge it a little through the winter.
Yeah.
You
know?
I mean, you got to, right?
Got to.
When life gives you a giant body of water for your use,
yeah,
one must go into it when it is freezing temperatures.
When it's freezing outside, absolutely. I mean, our new neighbor, I guess, Ed, he was out like swimming, you know.
He was
going for a swim.
Couldn't have been more impressed. This man must be in his, I'm gonna say 70s,
yeah,
maybe. Hopefully he's not listening right now and like, wow, I'm 53, okay. like oh man, I totally misread you, Ed. I'm sorry. He comes down, he's like doing all of his like stretches. He's got like a wetsuit on. He's got like a little flotation device for safety.
Safety buoy. Yeah.
He's got a safety buoy, like a bright orange, like kind of flary type of, you know, device.
So yeah.
He doesn't get, you know, run over by a boat or something. I was like, good for you, man. Good for you.
I know. I was like, I'm going to have to come down here and swim.
That's
right.
Have
to do it.
That's it.
Now, Ben, if I understand it though, you went for a swim.
I did go for
like a swim.
Like a swim.
Like in the pool.
Like a swammy swim.
Like on swim team.
Not like on swim team, but I have a curiosity that I was like attempting to test, and then like life kept getting so busy that like I haven't really been able to like properly pursue it further. But we know at this point that snowboarding is an activity I quite enjoy,
yeah,
as well as many others. But growing up, like I can't say that I loved it. We went so infrequently. I want to say there was like some situation that would happen where like the nearby ski resort would do something with like our dad's TV station. And so it occasionally yielded like a handful of like family passes that we would have
right
to go. And so like skiing is an expensive sport on the whole. And I don't know if this is as obvious as people think it may be, but like, you know, reporters or, you know, like early news anchors, despite having a very like public exposure job in the beginning, it wasn't like the most, like we weren't like really well off necessarily,
right,
as kids. Like we did fine. And like, you know, it was good, but like skiing is expensive. It's a big ass to get out there, like with the whole fam and everything. So it wasn't like something we were doing with like an extreme amount of regularity. And what that meant for me was that like, I would go out there and try to snowboard. Cause of course I was like going to middle child it and choose not skiing.
Right.
Cause that's what you have to do. Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a,
I got,
you're, I'm born into this burden. I don't know what to do.
Like, I don't know. I skied. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had to, but
if you were a middle child, you would understand.
Yeah.
I all of them out there who are listening, they're like, yeah, I get it, man.
I get it.
Like you needed to be different.
You needed
to like show who you were in some other way. But if there's one thing about snowboarding, it is that like when you go out there, and if it's your first day of snowboarding, it's like all I can say is I'm sorry, but it'll be worth it. Like the first day is going to suck. Almost no matter who you are. Like everybody I've ever been on their first day is just going to spend the whole day. Like they're going to be falling on their butt. They're going to be cold. You're probably going to feel some bruises afterwards. Your quads are going to be exhausted.
Yeah.
It's brutal. So when I was in college, I feel like for whatever reason, it like this like manifestation hit me and I was like, I need to be able to know how to ski or snowboard so that like when I am older and I have kids, I am able to like go and like teach them. It was like one of those things where it was like, I did this as a kid and therefore my kids need to know how to do it. And our dad is a phenomenal skier and I need to know how to get from point A to point B.
Right.
Like, and I'm not there yet. And so I go out and I bought all my own gear. And it was like when I was doing it on my own terms, everything switched. Like the total switch flip. I was like, okay, now I can't wait to go back out. Like I was, you know, half the time I would be like in class at like 2 o'clock, an hour and a half from like the nearest ski resort in Radford. And I would like be like texting Big Steve.
Yeah, Big Steve.
And I'd be like, dude, what do you think? Should we like go tonight? Like Wednesday night is like half price ski night for college students or whatever. And like, we would like literally like leave, drive up and ski from like 5 till 9, just because we could. And it was, you know, it's the best. It's like, there's nothing better than when you have an activity you can't resist doing.
Yes, that is. I mean, and skiing is, yeah, I remember feeling that way about it for a good while there, like in my early 20s as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so you inspired me, obviously with doing your triathlon earlier this year. I was like, like you went out and you started like going to the pool and I was like, God, he's so brave. Like to go swim. Well,
thank you.
Like on your own. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, but it was like one of those things where I think you were going and you were like just thoroughly enjoying the experience. Like, I feel like you'd come in and like, you know, like, yeah, I swam this morning, you know, like having a big smile on your face, you know, like the chlorine effect in your hair. Mm-hmm. You know, you got those like swimmer vibes and all that. I mean, it's all good.
It's all good.
And so I was like, well, maybe what I need to do is go out there and like, without the pressure of like being on a swim team, without the pressure of like being in a lane with like 12 other kids who are going to keep tapping your foot because you're swimming too slow and making you feel terrible about your existence.
Right. Like,
if I just go out there and do it for fun, maybe it'll be great. And so all I can say is I swam for like 15 minutes and, you know, it was, I had to stop, you know, a couple of times just to like catch my breath at the end of each lane and all that type of stuff or whatever. But like, I, you know, I did it.
You did it.
Yeah. I think I swam, I don't know, like 12 down and backs.
There you go. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Hey, not bad.
Very solid. Yeah.
So
good stuff.
Yeah. So it felt good. Felt good. But I don't know now, but that was like before we left on tour and then life got really busy because of tour. And then now I've been home and it's been just trying to like recalibrate to the old system. But, I was like, okay, like maybe I'll try to like join Jay for like next year's triathlon or something.
Oh man, here we go. I know we're going to have to do some like actual other, biking and running this time too.
Right. Right. So some all around training.
Yeah. But I think, I'm definitely think I'm going to try and do it again next year.
Good, so. good. Yeah.
Yep. That's the plan anyway. Get back out there. So yeah, that's cool. But you've only done it the one time so far.
Yeah, I've just done it once. We actually went out there and it was supposed to be Addie's swim lessons. And, you know, so I was like, oh, this would be great. Like, you know, I'm supposed to be here anyway. I don't really have any role while she's doing swim lessons. And I usually just sit here. So I was like, I'll just go hop in the water. And then we got there and they had like drained the kiddie pool for like refurbishment or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was like literally like a skate park in there. Like it was empty.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. So then Addison didn't have swim lessons and I was just swimming as long as she didn't like, you know, throw a tantrum for.
Oh, where was she?
Being bored. She was just sort of like swimming in like the common. They had like roped off like a little like mini, like, you know, kids area in the adult pool before.
Oh, okay.
For kids to swim.
Got it.
So she didn't do swim lessons, but Alice was just in there with her.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's fun.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah. Well, family day at the pool.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Yay. So anyway, yeah. So, Lake Doc check. Now we just need to somehow find a way to, build a roof and a bathroom.
Oh yeah, I know, right? You know, the bathroom. That's a bit of a situation.
That's one that I think is going to catch up with us rather quickly. But we'll get there.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something's going to happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. Transition.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com
That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
All right, I put on here, I'm approaching the post-DCC blues, and you seem to have not understood what that meant.
Well, I have since caught up with it, but I was having fun trying to think of things, so I was like, because yeah, you broke it down into DCC, and I was like, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders?
Oh yeah, having such blues, post-Dallas Cowboys, you know, I've been watching that reality show on Netflix.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there you go, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost over.
And I just don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
What am I going to do? It's like, I just come home and I watch it. And it's like, man, I don't even know what that show's about.
Me neither. I think, I'm sure that it's just a reality show about the woes of making it on the Dallas Cheerleaders.
I'm sure that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know they're sort of like the premier cheerleading squad in the NFL.
I think they've done good things for getting cheerleaders fair wages as well.
Oh, that's good. Good for them.
For the NFL. So
yeah.
I think it has actually had some positive impact on the league.
There you go. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's good that their cheerleaders do, even if their football players are the worst.
That's coming from Commanders fans.
I'm sure they're all nice people, actually.
not like you know, unethical criminals. Which, growing up,
anyone who would play for the Cowboys.
This was like one of the biggest title shifts that happened to me when I was getting older. But like, when I was a kid and we were fans of like the Virginia Tech Hokies, I genuinely believed like players for like the, like, you know, the University of Virginia, UVA, were like unethical human beings.
Bad people.
Like it was, that's like the way that like the rivalry, like, because it was never explained to me. I just remember like going to the games and seeing all of like the trash talking t-shirts and stuff like that. And so I think young innocent Ben mind was just sort of like, well, they wouldn't say such mean things unless they weren't truly horrible people.
Right. Exactly.
It turns out,
I can't believe anyone's even fans of them.
I mean, like, literally.
Yeah.
I was like, what, there's something wrong with you for cheering for them. Like, don't you know? Like, you, like, I don't know, but like, don't you?
Right.
Anyway, but yeah. So no, that's it there. My other guesses were the Danville Community College.
Okay.
Probably not.
Never
heard of it.
Yep.
And then this one comes all the way from across the pond, the Derbyshire County Council.
County Council. Yeah, I'm on the Derbyshire County Council. I vote on, you know, the zoning laws and stuff.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, and also,
my time in office is almost up, so it's going to be sad.
Right. Well, based on the fact that Edinburgh is spelled Edinburgh, or Edinburgh.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that I'm pronouncing Derbyshire wrong, and it's actually like Derbyshire.
Yeah. Debshees. Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Derbyshire.
All of our British listeners are going to be like, I hate you.
Yeah.
I hate you.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. DCC just stands for Dungeon Crawler Carl.
I did get there in the end. So that means that you are getting near on having finished seven books,
yes. And then I apparently over the weekend, thankfully, unlike Patrick Rothfuss in The Name of the Wind, Matt Dinneman has already announced the next book, which is coming out next May. So,
okay. So not like terribly far off in the future.
Not terribly far off. So yeah, book 8 coming soon. But yeah, I'm like, I've been living down in the dungeon for the past like couple months here, flying through the books. And I'm getting near the end of book 7, which is the last one written so far. And I'm like, oh man, What am I going to do? It's been so nice. Like when I started, it was like, finish book 1, no problem. I got 6 more books.
That is the best. It's like when you find a show that's been like super popular for years and then you've got like 5 seasons to catch up on. And you're like, oh, this is like, I have 2 months.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So I was so excited. And even after I finished like book 5, it was like, whatever, 2 more books, you know, lots to do here. It's going to be great. But now I'm like 13 hours left on book 7. I'm like, uh-oh, I'm not going to have more dungeon to crawl through here.
Guess this is going
to, I'm going to be stuck in the waiting zone. What am I going to do, Ben?
And you're such a like uncomfortable distance too away, where like right now you're like absolutely like in it.
Yeah.
But then you're going to get to May. And it's like, will it have been too much time since your most recent read through, or will you need to like reread.
I know.
7 books again.
I know. I'm like, maybe that's the call. Maybe just like restart it, see if you pick up more stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure it would. Because there's sometimes, you know, like there's characters now that they're talking to that I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I remember them sort of coming into the story. Okay, they're important now and that's all that really matters, but like maybe I should have paid attention to them more around, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, always characters like that. But I will say, I kind of put it in here because it's like, the Dungeon Crawler Carl has been, it's interesting to see it like develop in real time with like the author and stuff. Cause I guess he's like very community oriented and stuff.
That's been like, you know, where like Rothfuss, of course, with Name of the Wind, it's like highly like secretive, and he has like his like, you know, beta readers or alpha readers or whatever, who are like the, you know, the first wave of defense, but they're like highly entrusted individuals who, you know, he's like individually vetted, and you know, it's like such a, there's so much secrecy around it that nobody knows anything.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I think Matt Dindeman has like Patreon supporters like voting on like what's going to be in treasure chests and what different plot points are going to be and stuff like that.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy. I'm like, that is wild. I don't know. Maybe he structured it such that it's like, well, it doesn't matter really which one you pick. They're going to have the same effect or something. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe he has more of a plan in his mind. I don't know. But as I understand it, he's just sort of making it up as he goes, which is cool. But so another, like, over last week, they launched a... almost like a Kickstarter, I guess, for a Dungeon Crawler graphic novel.
Okay.
Called like Dungeon Crawler Carl Crocodile. I know.
Wonderful.
I know. So one of the characters in the book eventually takes the form of like a like anthropomorphic crocodile, like a crocodilian is okay. What he's, Florin is his name. And so basically the graphic novel is going to follow Florin through the first floor of the dungeon. So it'll be like a separate timeline from what you're used to with Carl and Donut. But, you know, they'll also, I guess, you know, exist in the dungeon somewhere.
Right.
You just
right.
won't be following their story this time around. But I was like, ooh, that's really cool. So, but it's like, it's crazy to me that they're like crowdfunding something like this, because the book seems like super popular that the publishers would just be like, yeah, we'll make a... whatever.
I know, like, it makes me want, like, this is, it's strange because, like, I haven't been able to get a good read on where, it's always hard to know what translates into what measure of, like, financial success for an author. Like, you know, like, you could, like, look at, like, John Green, you know, of, like, the Vlog Brothers or whatever, like, noted author, but also highly successful content creator of mm-hmm. the interweb. He has his hands in like a whole bunch of different kinds of projects, and he seems successful. And I don't know if it's because of his like publications or by selling book rights to movie producers or like, does it all go into some big bag? I have no idea how it right. works. You know, like that's like a peek behind the curtain. I don't understand. Same thing with Rothfuss. You know, it's like, people know him. He's a well-respected author, but it's because like his first two books of the same series were just so like
good,
wonderful. That,
yeah.
That like, I think he garnered a lot of like respect and attention from other like fantasy authors who just like sort of immediately floated his name up to the surface. But then you've got a situation like this where you're talking like 7 books, which is quite a bit more, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like what does that mean for, what did you say the author's name was?
Matt Dinneman.
Yeah. So like what's Matt Dinneman's day to day looking like?
I don't know. Cause then I feel like, I don't know then too, if I am like catching the series, like on its like cresting point, you know, like where it is crested, but like, from being into like mainstream popularity kind of.
Like how
Harry Potter was like in like when Goblet of Fire came out, I think is when it started becoming like insanely popular.
Like a sensation.
Right. Like a sensation. Like people read the first 3 books and they loved them. But like if you didn't read, you know, like they got to like Prisoner before like people were really starting to catch on.
Yeah.
You know, like it took a few to get established and then it became insanely popular.
Right.
So it's like, has it been the case that like the people have been there the whole time and they've been doing all this stuff and it's been great and he's been churning out the books, but like right now. Now is when it's like people are like, wait, what is this Dungeon Crawler series thing that people are talking about?
Right.
That's like really like catching fire.
Right. Like, or are you just like in the epicenter of it because like you've been so like dragged into the dungeons.
Yes. Like, or am I, yeah, can I not see the forest for the trees? You know?
I mean, and genuinely, I have no idea. That's another one of, with also not being on social media, like I have no pulse.
Yeah.
There's no idea.
I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah. What the insane, like, what is the general, here's what really sold me that maybe it has like really crested some point is okay. That we have a mutual friend named Caitlin.
Okay. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And, on tour, I was doing like an Ask Me Anything or whatever. And someone asked me like, what's my favorite, you know, current TV show or series that I'm watching. And I was like, well, I don't know about watching right now, but what I'm reading is Dungeon Crawler Carl. And she responded to that and was like, oh my gosh, love DCC. I've read the entire series twice this year. And I was like, Caitlin, you have read Dungeon Crawler Carl twice this year.
All seven.
I was like, if it has hit you, it's mainstream.
Who? Okay. Yes. Like to give some context here, like this particular friend of ours is someone who I would very like almost compare to the caricature that is being depicted in the movie Legally Blonde.
Sure.
Like I remember her getting on the bus when we were kids and it was raining and she gets on the bus and she goes, it's raining and I'm wet. And it was like, yeah.
It's funny that you brought up Legally. I think that's a fantastic comparison for Caitlin. Cause I think in high school, she very specifically had like Elle Woods glasses.
Did she really?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, she almost looks like her.
She, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You know, like it's, yeah. And I don't think that she would be bothered to know that this is our assessment.
I don't think so.
It's a compliment.
It is. Yeah.
But yeah, you're absolutely correct. So when you told me that too, though, I was like, that is surprising.
I know.
That is surprising.
I'm
like,
maybe I just don't understand. Maybe I'm just, and I'm pleasantly surprised by her taste in books.
Of course. You yes. Know? Yeah. Maybe yeah. we should send her a copy of Name of the Wind.
Ben, it's already one of her top three favorite books of all time.
Name of the Wind?
Name of the Wind.
Why are we?
I know.
I'm flummoxed.
And Project Hail Mary.
Okay, that's it. We're calling her to come in the most unusual, like, Pop has a guest situation ever. Her favorite books are the same as ours?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe it either. I was like, what's happening here?
I'm so shocked right now. This is crazy. Like, I don't know how else to describe it, but like, I mean, take any, like, stereotype of like a Glee. What's Quinn?
Quinn
and Glee. Her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's think of other situations where this might occur. Mean Girls. She's not mean.
But
you know, just like a very fashionable, cool in person.
Right.
You know, like we made Super Carlin Brothers what it is to be like the thing where like when you were in high school and didn't feel like you could find your community for people who also liked this stuff. Like we tried to like create a web that allowed all those people to come together. I don't know. It's I'm so shocked right now. You can't just drop a bomb like that on me like mid podcast.
I mean, I guess this is just like, you know what? It's like, you don't judge a book by its cover, which obviously Caitlin is not.
Obviously not.
No.
Obviously not.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, this has gone well. I can't wait to talk to her next time.
I know.
I have a million questions.
I have so many things to talk to you about now.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I feel like there's certainly no top in that. Well, actually, you know what? I have one last thing here.
Bring it on.
I'm getting a lot of gray hair. Like a lot.
You're getting a lot of gray hair.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So since being on tour, we went out and I am like, I the same woman has cut my hair for 10 years. And we're tight. Like, you know, her like unbeknownst to the fact that like I would go and sit in this woman's chair, her own daughter, who I would have met for the first time when she was like 8 is now in college.
Right.
She like went through the whole spell of being like a SCB fan, not knowing that like we were local or that her own mom cut my hair.
Right.
You know, so lots of cool connective tissue and stuff. But anyway, I have a very strict regimen about going and having my hair cut on like my regular cadence. But when we go on tour, everything gets thrown for a loop. And of course, I had to get cut like, you know, right before we left. So I look nice and sharp while we're on tour, all that type of stuff. Anyway, so I'm like way outside of my normal parameters now, which means my hair is longer, which means I was brushing my teeth last night and I like went to like turn my head and I was like, what the? And I'm like, hold up.
Uh-oh.
Like I pulled out my phone and started like taking pictures of my side profile. I was like, there is way more gray hair than the last time I've seen it, but I've not been able to see it because it's been cut so short for so long.
Wow.
Anyway.
So like mostly like facial hair wise.
No, side of my head hair wise. Let me show you a picture.
Okay.
A graphic image.
A graphic. Okay. Yeah,
I hope you can be prepared for hang on, that's not it. How do I get to the present? Oh, here we go. Look at this. Look at this. Do you see?
I mean, yeah. I guess so.
That's,
yeah, right there.
That's quite a plentiful. You see it.
I see it. Yeah, I see it right there. Yeah, it's covered up by your headphones right now, so you're good.
Yeah, so I'm all good right now. But yeah. I was like, what is happening? Oh my gosh. So anyway, I'm not really like that panicked about it. Like I think it'll be okay. But it's just like my hair hasn't been this long, I don't think, since the pandemic when everything shut down and we couldn't go get haircuts for a while. And so it was like seeing a glimpse into something that I probably haven't had any reason to look at in 5.5 years.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, I always keep it cut short.
Right.
So like, it's never been long enough to like really get like a feel for it. I can usually see like the little like glistening reflective silvers and stuff in there, but yeah, it's coming on strong.
Coming on strong.
On the other hand, are just youthful as ever.
You know, I guess so.
I don't know how you do it.
I don't know. I'm young at heart, I suppose.
You are that.
I don't think it would be unfair to say that you worry a lot.
I do worry a lot. Yeah. Some say excessively.
Some say.
Yeah. But you know, there's nothing we can really do about that other than just like try to like mental fortitude our way through it. But anyway, so that was the last thing I wanted to include. It's just strictly documenting where my current, you know, gray status is at.
It reminds me, there's this episode of Seinfeld where I think Elaine is dating someone and he is, I want to say, like a swimmer or something.
Okay.
And so he is like voluntarily, like he shaves his head.
Okay.
So he's like
voluntarily
bald.
Right.
And George, of course, takes great offense to this because he's involuntarily bald.
Okay.
And, you know, he's like, this is, you know, you don't, whatever.
what is the thing? Like my lifestyle is not your costume or something.
Oh yeah. My culture is not your costume.
My culture is not. Yes.
But of course, George compares it as like, you know, to like someone using a wheelchair who doesn't need a wheelchair or something.
Sure.
Cause to him the same, you know, as people on Seinfeld are. But then, you know, he has a picture of like his old license photo when Elaine sees the photo and she's like, I could be dating this hair. And he's like, well, yeah, I guess so. Maybe I'll grow it out. But then he tries to grow it out and he finds out that actually, since he started shaving it, he's just also naturally become bald.
No way.
And the realization that he is involuntarily bald instead of voluntarily bald, like changes his entire like personality and appearance.
Oh my gosh.
It's a really funny plot line.
That is quite that's pretty clever.
Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, it's exactly like that.
There you go.
But yeah, so I my hair grew out like just a little bit more. I mean, and we're talking like millimeters.
Yeah.
You know, but still just enough to where I was kind of like,
are you just gonna like keep coming or?
What do you mean?
Like just grow it out?
No. I got a haircut and I get to take a new license photo on Thursday.
Wow.
I got a haircut that morning. I'm so excited. My license photo is so heinously bad because I have severe test anxiety. Like I just straight up like, and I don't think I ever knew it when I was growing up or like how bad it was or anything. But like what happened was I got to the 10-year mark. I must've been turning 28. I can't remember. Anyway, I had to go get my new license and I looked down and it was like 2 days after my birthday and I realized that my license had expired and I was like, I'm going to have to go and take the test again. like, I'm going to have to go and take the driver's test. And it's like, I've been driving successfully on the road for years, but I'm like, I don't know how far you park from a fire hydrant. Is it 12 feet or 10 feet? Like not that I just don't park near fire hydrants,
right,
is what it comes down to, but I might still get the question wrong.
Right.
Like, these are like the things that are like rattling through my brain.
Yeah.
And I'm like in like a panic. And so we were at the office, like doing Super Carlin Brothers stuff. And I remember I was like, I have to go to the DMV right now. I have to leave right now. I have to go renew my license and I might have to take the test and I'm freaking out about it. And I get there and I was wearing like a backwards, like, hat that day.
Right.
And I think I had like gone to the gym, not showered afterwards, and just wore like a hat instead. So like my hair is just so messed up. And it did not occur to me that I was wearing a hat until I go up to take the new photo. And she's like, oh, you got to take your hat off, sweetie. And I was like, oh yeah, of course. Oh no.
Yeah.
And I go to take my hat off. Like, all my hair is like matted to my head and it's like all disheveled and terrible looking. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, this is now going to be on my license forever. And there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, but yeah, so Thursday I go, new photo. I'm going to get my hair cut that morning. Everything's going to be great.
Or will you be universally shoved, Ben?
Or will I be universal? Like, I get there. I will subscribe to universal shoving if I get there and they're like, oh, camera's not working today. Is it okay if we use the old one?
You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
If that happens, I will be like, okay, Jay's got a point.
Something's going to, yeah, they'll be like, don't worry. Actually, you don't have to take a new one. That's only every 12 years or something.
I'm like, No.
I'd really like to.
I need, yeah, like, look. This is what it currently looks like. This is unacceptable. You know it. I know it. Everybody who sees it is always like, oh, it's not that bad. And I'm like, it is that bad.
It is that bad.
It is that bad.
Yeah.
Like, nobody likes their driver's license photo, but mine's especially worse.
Dude, I loved my old driver's license photo.
Well, you did look
great. It was great.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I had some great shaggy hair, and I think it was maybe the best picture I ever took with it.
I mean, it was like,
it was in great form that day.
The shaggy hair look that we went through, people like to call it the Bieber hair, but it was the Steve Prefontaine
hair. I hate it when people call it the Bieber hair. They're like, oh, you had the Bieber look, and I'm like, I predate the Biebs.
Yes, exactly. Okay? Yes. What are you talking about? It's an anachronism.
That is an anachronism. Like, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're wrong. Like, right. He adopted what we were doing.
Exactly. Okay? Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Bieber was doing what the Carlins were doing.
Exactly. like I wasn't Biebering. I was Prefontaining.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
Yeah.
But the thing about that haircut, at least for us, I don't know, for me, I have such like string bean hair. Like, it's like very fine, it's very thin, which meant that like based on like how I washed it and toweled it dry on any given day meant it took on completely different shapes all the time. Sometimes it would like stick to my forehead. Sometimes it would like flare out like a really nice, like kind of cool way. But yeah, I feel like in your particular photo, it's it was exactly right.
It was. Yeah. It just like it looked great that day.
It had the curl.
It had the curl on it and everything. Yeah. A lost time.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, probably never look like that again.
You could bring it back, because with the mustache, man, it would be vibes for days.
I mean, that'd be real Prefontaining then.
It would be.
You know, because he had the mustache.
Right.
He didn't curl his, though. His is like down, as far as I know.
Well, you know.
I guess he could have.
You could always make modifications.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing to say.
Who's to say?
I mean, you could be Steve Prefontaine when you grow up.
Yeah, that's it. That'd be what I look like when I retire and just like grow my hair really long again.
You know? Oh my God, that would be amazing. I already can't wait. Let the countdown begin. We'll do another make Jay grow a mullet in the
It was not a mullet.
In the month of year 50 of his life.
In the month of year 50.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's how years start to feel after a while anyway, is like months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. Now that we've induced plenty of panic amongst our listeners, we'll go ahead and close out for the day. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. If you have any feedback on the show, I do read all of your emails. You can send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com, or if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. All sorts of fun stuff and extra bits going on over there. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.